Welcome to Sestercast, the Orphan Black podcast. I'm Jean McDonald, and I'm rewatching this series for the third time. My co-host, Kathy Campbell, is watching for the first time, and so we make a point not to spoil any storylines beyond the episode that we are currently discussing. So, hey, Kathy Campbell, superstar. How is it going this week?
It's going absolutely great. I'm super excited to be here. And weather news, it's not super hot outside, so I'm not complaining about sweating. So that's happy.
No, I'm complaining now that I had to turn off the heat so that we can record. And as I did it, I thought, you just can't win.
Nope. With audio, when there's all sorts of feeding stuff, you just gotta put those complaints in when you can and move on.
But we can move on. And we'll try not to break into song in this episode of Sestercast, although in my mind, I'm dancing and breaking into song because it is one of my favorite episodes, which is season 4, episode 8, The Redesign of Natural Objects, which indicates, as usual, there's a lot of science in this one. But there's also musical theater with Allison. And I have rewatched, just clips of this, of Allison doing Jesus Christ Superstar a few times, especially since I learned that that is one of Tatiana Maslany's favorite musicals. And she did break into song on the Stephen Colbert show and just start singing it with him because it's one of his favorites too. So it makes it more fun to know
that's awesome.
Tatiana herself is enjoying it, even if Allison is having a hard time this episode.
Right. And man, is she having a very hard time. Of course, not as difficult as Donnie is.
Yeah. So this is one of those episodes, which I think is the majority of episodes lately, where they just have woven the story so tightly between the different characters and the clones that it's pretty hard to separate out one or two threads and discuss them separately. So we're just going to start from the beginning. And yes, Donnie starts out pretty tough.
Yeah. Well, he's pretending. You can tell he's trying really hard. He's just kind of like, so the episode starts with, all of these like tattooed men. And at one point, like walking down the pathway and you see someone's getting handcuffed and like just all of this stuff, and the song is very like I Fought the Law and the Law Won,
but right,
very, it reminds me of Oh Brother Where Art Thou, and I can't think of the music style that it's called, but it's just very like grungy, very very prison like and and he's just like trying to be this hardcore criminal and he's got his tray of food and he's just like sup and sits down. You can tell he's very excited to find an empty table, and then some kind-eyed criminal sits down across from him and is like, oh hey, let me guess, first day. And Donnie's all like, oh yeah, I'm a tough guy, I'm here, let me talk to you.
I'm here for trafficking, hundreds of thousands of dollars of prescription drugs. And he like rattles off all these like slang words for drugs that I didn't even bother to keep a list of or look up, because I thought, I'm never going to need to know those.
I'm good not knowing these things in my brain. Like there's space for other things. and the guy that he's talking to turns out to be like, the lead person who's going to try and make sure that they get the right guy, because here comes this big dude in white shirt, not the orange shirt. He's a Neolution plant to keep an eye on Donnie.
Yeah. He's quite menacing. And Donnie's act doesn't hold up to that level of menacing.
Not at all. He loses his cool very quickly.
Oh, poor Donnie.
Poor Donnie. Also poor Rachel, who, when we last saw her, had fallen downstairs and was glitching hardcore about a swan. To which Ira is checking out his eye, her checking out Rachel's eye, and just like, it looks fine. You know, everything's fine. And Rachel's like, no, it's not, but that's okay. And Susan has just given up. And Rachel is like, let's change this. Let's get Susan back into it. And at one point, so Rachel's trying to convince Ira to help her get Susan involved because they can do what needs to be done to fix both of them. And at that point, Rachel stands up without her crutches and her aphasia goes away. And Ira's just like, oh, apparently passion is going to help. So this passion that Rachel is feeling for the research that's going to be needed is helping heal her injuries. Getting the brain to work better. Basically.
Yeah, Rachel is always interesting when she's trying to win people over to what she wants. People who she has scoffed at or, you know, actively oppressed in the past. And then she's like, I'm going to appeal to Ira's will to live. I mean, she knows how to push people's buttons, and she does it when she needs to. But Rachel is looking good, I have to say. Like, I like the clothes that they put her in this, you know, she's not your typical housebound invalid.
Right.
I would be in a big fluffy robe and slippers. Rachel's in some designer tunic. She looks, you know, that's like this silver blue. It looks really good. So.
It does. And it looks very comfortable too.
Yeah.
Like just very cozy. And that makes me want those clothing items.
Yeah. So, yeah, so then we go to the rabbit hole, and it's Cosima. I think it's the rabbit hole. Sometimes I have a hard time telling whether they're in the basement of the rabbit hole or at the safe house.
Yeah.
But
I'm pretty sure it's the rabbit hole because Cosima says, I don't bring any, I don't have any coffee.
Yeah, okay. Right.
And brings the chai instead. So I'm pretty sure they're in the rabbit hole because that's Cosima's location.
Right. But and, visually they're hard to tell apart. Like they're dark and, you know, like sort of, you know, always looks like it's raining wherever they are. So Sarah and Cosima are kind of getting back in touch after last episode where Cosima almost implanted a maggot bot in her cheek and Sarah almost jumped off a bridge onto the railroad tracks. And so now they're having some tea and Cosima's saying, I'm proud of you, Sestra, you know, that they both pushed through their bad experience. Yeah.
Yeah. And this scene in particular, I was hit with the reminder that, oh yeah, they're the same person. Yeah. Every so often I forget that. And this scene, I had forgotten it. And then I was like, oh, yeah, they're the same. And it was impressive all over again. So, yeah, that was really cool.
Yeah.
Every time that happens, it's kind of fun.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, Sarah's nursing a 2-day hangover, which I'm glad to hear that it takes at least 2 days to overcome the amount of drinking she did in episode 7, because I feel hungover just watching her.
Right. It was a lot of alcohol.
It was a lot of alcohol.
For such a tiny little body.
Yeah.
Kira's there too. She's playing a computer game, and then all of a sudden Mika arrives, shows up in her mask, to which Sarah's just like, you don't need the mask. And Cosima comes in, and which freaks Mika out. And Cosima's like, no, leave the mask. I like it. It's funny.
Yeah. And so Mika, the hacker extraordinaire, has managed to track down this feed of the video conference that Susan Duncan and Rachel had with Evie Cho about, you know, what's next, and Evie's being all smarmy superior, like, well, I'm in charge of everything and this is a courtesy call, but FYI, I'm going to crush all those self-aware clones and Lita yeah. thing is over. So that's when Sarah and Cosima get, like, you know, the word that this is what Evie's plan is.
Yeah, and Cosima wants to talk to Susan because she knows that she can't do this by herself, and Susan has information and knowledge and tools that Cosima doesn't have.
Right.
And so they're going to have to work together to go against Evie because Evie is a threat, and she will – like, she's shown that she is willing to do whatever it takes to get what she wants. And so she just kind of is like, well, let's work together. As horrible as that sounds, most of the parties involved, it's going to be best for everyone in the end, because it's going to actually hopefully do what they need to do.
Right. Right. And, yeah, so they are, let's see, they do have another conference call, a live conference call with Sarah, Susan, Rachel, Cosima, and, in the background, Mrs. S is cleaning a rifle, which is a whole nother, line of this, the action in this show. But I just liked how they sort of slid that in there. Just remind you that, S has got plans too.
She's not happy.
No, but, and you know what? Cosima says, I'm conflicted about, you know, Rachel says, yeah, let's work together. Or Susan says that. And Cosima says, I'm conflicted about this, you know, being happy talking to you because given who your roommate is. And then she says, yo, Rachel.
To which Rachel replies, yo.
Yes, that's one of the best. Which is
brilliant. So good.
Yeah, so they're talking, you know, Sarah's. So at this point, Sarah is on one computer. Cosima's on another one, right? Because Kira, Sarah has to close her computer because Kira is bugging her as Mrs. S has just left with the rifle.
With the rifle.
Yeah.
To which Kira is just like, yeah, this is not good.
I should tell somebody.
Yeah. And I will bother my mother, who, even though she's getting frustrated with me, we know that she needs to know.
Yeah.
Which, yeah, that's probably a good plan because we saw a little bit earlier she's not doing okay. She kind of is just still that seething, not guilt, but there's a low-level rage there, but also just like grief, hardcore grief. Because, you know, she lost her mom, and not only did her mom die, but like she has all of these years of like hatred for her mother. So yeah, she definitely is grieving and is not taking that very well, or at least Duco doesn't think she'll be taking that grief very well.
Yeah, so we do see she's Mika also had information on Duco. That was another one of her contributions, you know, including him having, you know, secret bank accounts. So obviously on the payroll of nefarious elements. And so S is following Duco around. At the same time, so Cosima and Susan are talking about, you know, the science, and Scotty comes and joins them, and he's like, you know what? Rachel stabbed us in the back, so if she's in, then we're out. And it's like, wow, Scotty, you tell us how you really feel. He was just, and she cheats at Agricola.
Yes. That was so funny. She, like, that that was the one thing, like, yes, you know, she's a meanie head and a jerk and like does all of these things, but the fact that she cheats on the game says so much about her personality to him. And he's not wrong.
No.
So yeah, he doesn't want to work with her, and like kind of puts his foot down.
Yep. Cosima's like, okay, that's how it is. And she ends the conversation there. So,
yeah.
But we've also had some more prison, you know, progress over at the prison, starting with Donnie gets a lawyer.
Yes. Thanks to Felix. Drops off Adele.
Adele.
Who is better than legal aid, hypothetically. And Allison asks, you know, how much Adele might know. And Felix doesn't have time to tell her yet until Adele comes in and is just like freaks out. And Felix is like, oh, no, this is Sarah's twin. And the best line is he says, oh, I was so confused. You look just like her with less anger and more hygiene.
Yes, that was a good line.
It made me laugh. But yeah, Adele comes in and they're going to talk to Donnie. And Donnie comes up to talk to Allison, and here comes the other big guy. I don't think we ever learn his name.
No, I think he's just big Neolution guy. He does have the Neolution logo tattooed on his back of his hand.
So yeah, big Neolution guy also just so happens to show up while Donnie is talking to Allison and Adele. And is just staring at Donnie. But of course, the ladies can't really see him because of how the situation is. But Donnie is definitely nervous. And because he got taken in on a Friday, he can't have a bail hearing until Monday. So here's 2 days where he will be in prison at the mercy of this big scary dude, which is understandably nerve-wracking for everyone involved.
He does point Neolution guy out to Allison. You know, it's one of those classic scenes of like, see that guy over there? Don't look.
Don't look.
It's like, what do you expect somebody to do? You're supposed to start out with, don't look now, but, you know, whatever. But he's in jail. He's under stress. So we will cut him a lot of slack. But he just says, like, I am not going to last 2 more days here, which is true. I mean, I think, you know, given the information that he has so far about his situation, he's not going to last until Monday, and we feel bad for him. And then this is where the, you know, the plot kind of ties together, because, you know, Mrs. S is kind of like, she's sort of the watcher throughout the whole episode, right? She's the one, her following Duco around is kind of the background of things that are happening. And in this point, you know, she's looking for Duco. Sarah's concern calls Art, who says, you know, Duco is AWOL. We don't know where he is because he's turned off his GPS or whatever.
Yeah.
And but Mrs. S is following him, so she sees that he is meeting Allison. And so then, like, things click, like, oh, they're using Allison to get to us.
Yes.
And, you know, that's a common theme in the series, you know, that Allison has the most to lose, you know, in terms of, like, you know, the family and the life that she has.
And also she is less strong-willed. I mean, not saying that she's not
I know what you mean.
Yeah, she's easier to intimidate, I think would be the proper words.
Yeah.
Where like Sarah will just come out and kill you.
Yeah.
You know, like whatever, I'm not going to handle this, whereas Allison is more willing to bend for it. But basically, Duco wants Sarah. Period. Yeah. He doesn't know why, really. As we learn later, doesn't really know why. But they like that's his.
What Evie wants is that.
Yeah.
I think that, you know, it probably is because Sarah is the de facto leader of the self-aware clones.
And, yeah.
If they could get rid of her, it would be a lot harder for Cosima and Allison, you know, and the other ones, and Helena, of course. Like, Sarah's the only one who really has, like, a tie
to all of them. Mm-hmm. And, like, the only one that will really, like, has been making decisions and able to, like, pull them all together. So I totally understand it. But, like, as a specific, he
doesn't know.
Doesn't know it. Yeah.
One of the things we know from like scenes from previously on Orphan Black, they mention how Sarah Stubbs and Allison have been planning this musical, Jesus Christ Superstar. They've always wanted to do it. So that's what Allison is in the middle of doing while all this is going on. So she's walking into the church, like into the church auditorium with like a ton of like costume and box
props.
And of course, as she's trying to walk in the door, she drops something. And Allison says the SH word. She doesn't say, so she literally says SHIT. And I was like, I didn't remember that she ever said an actual bad word in the entire series, but there you go.
Front of her pastor.
Right. And he's like, you know, is everything okay? You know, I know you have a secret. I can help. He's very annoying, that Reverend Mike.
He feels swarmy without that really, truly creepy feeling that a lot of the bad guys have. Like, he just doesn't, it doesn't feel right.
Yeah.
Like, it's just like, ugh, yeah.
And and she's like, Allison's like, you know, what do I do if, you know, I need to protect someone I love, but by doing that, I hurt someone else I care about. And Reverend Mike is like, well, you know, if we're talking about Donnie, well, you vowed in this church, you know, that you would always love and protect him. So obviously Donnie takes precedence or something. And I mean, like, I'm like, Reverend Mike, you don't know what you're talking about.
Right.
And he does butt out. I like where he says, like, I think, you know, the one you need to ask is the Lord. So, you know, I'm going to leave you alone to contemplate, which actually, you know, there was interesting, as we get into it even a little more, like, I didn't really realize this the first time I was watching it, is Allison is really in the role of Judas.
Yeah.
Literally, potentially.
Absolutely. Like, because, not just in the play.
Right.
But for the life of her husband, instead of 30 pieces of silver, she'll betray the person that...
The Messiah character, which is Sarah, you know, in her Sarah way, is the one who comes and, you know, brings the clones together. And we need you, you know, to... Even Beth, dead Beth, says we need you. You know, Reverend Mike is one of those characters who's like saying, like, yeah, you got to just do this thing, you know, and stop. The answer, you'll figure out the answer, is you have to betray somebody. We're definitely being set up here. And we, the audience, are being set up because then, they go to Felix's apartment. There's Felix in underwear. Yay. That was very cute. And he's arguing, you know, to Sarah and Mrs. S. Like, so Mrs. S has seen Allison and Duco together. So she's, telling them about it and saying, I know this is how they're going to try to get at us. And Allison is not a rat, says Felix. But right at that moment, Allison calls and she's like, where's Sarah?
Right. To which Felix has the perfect, oh, I don't know. Yeah, what are you about you? Like, he redirects it perfectly.
Yeah. And she asks them to come to the church. They're doing rehearsals for Jesus Christ Superstar. And she needs Felix. Like, she's not getting an answer out of Felix, but she knows she needs somebody. And it's not, I mean, you know, not to be blasphemous or anything, but it's not God. She needs Felix to help her figure out what to do.
I mean, Felix is the epitome, that perfect person for, like, for her in these situations. Like, this is what he does, is he helps support her how it's needed, which is,
So, So Felix is going to go once again out to Scarberia and be the acting coach for Allison. Meanwhile, at the rabbit hole, Cosima and Susan and Scotty are talking about vectors for delivering gene therapy. I will put a link into the science recap for this episode. It's pretty interesting and short, but about the different viruses that you could use for delivering, genetic therapy, and the ones they've tried, and what is raw DNA? It's not uncooked. It's it's not like wrapped up in the cells that it's supposedly wrapped up in. But as Susan asks if they have tried that, and Cosima's like, well, no, you know, look, we're in a comic book shop and we don't really have like the facilities to control. You know, presumably it's more precise work than what they have been doing.
Well, and I'm guessing like they probably don't have like the air purification and like things to get it to where it would be actual clean information, like clean data without like the air hitting how it could. So yeah, I totally understand. That's not the right place.
Yeah. So they, but then it's, you know, Cosima hits this idea, you know, if we had embryonic stem cells, you know, because now that they don't have Kendall and her genetic material, and they did such a good job of, you know, destroying that material wherever they went, that it's like they're not going to find a few cells.
Right.
Or somewhere, which is hard to believe, actually, but whatever, that they – so she comes up with this idea, which is essentially to create use a fertile egg of a Lita clone, namely Sarah, because she's the one that's available, and fertilize it with a castor, which would be Ira, because he's at least the only one we still seem to have around.
Right.
So
at first I was like, oh, they have the box of Helena's eggs.
And then
I was like, oh no, that's not, they won't have the DNA possibility.
Right.
Like, they won't be able
they're
to do
They're already fertilized.
And they're already fertilized. Yeah, but that was my initial thought. And I was like, oh wait, no, they don't have access. They don't know about them, let alone like have access to them. Never. They're going to get new ones. Let's get fresh ones.
Okay, fresh eggs. And I was like, really? there's a scene a little bit later where Sarah comes over and Cosima tells her about this great idea. And I'm like, Sarah's like, I don't like that fertilized egg part, you know, because she's going to have to donate eggs. And I'm kind of like, yeah, this is treading on thin ice, you know, medical ethics speaking. Plus, how did they never have that idea before?
Right. Well, I think like it just didn't. So they knew that she was fertile, but they didn't have access to the castor for a while. Like, just all of these things didn't really come into the brain. I can see how it wouldn't work, because when they knew that there was a castor available, they also had the original. Mm-hmm. So like that wasn't a solution that they would think about. Mm-hmm. I can see they actually did a pretty good job in my mind of like making it to where this isn't a believable solution until now.
Yeah. It was an interesting like,
Yeah, absolutely.
They could be following those Castor boys around and surreptitiously getting a sample, right? Especially the Rudy and other guy going around.
Yeah.
Anyway, okay. It's a creepy thought, and that's the latest thought on the science angle. Now we're at the auditorium, and they're doing a dress rehearsal. Allison snaps at Sarah Stubbs, and then she's like, "I'm sorry, let me go do my makeup." And as she's going into her big box of makeup, she finds a little mini bottle of vodka.
Yes.
And I'm like, "Oh no, no!
Not again!
Drink it, yeah, drink it." Part of me is like, "Just drink it, Allison," and like. But Felix surprises her, which makes her spill it, as far as I can tell. Like, and she says shisa. So she's not going back to saying the English word for shisa. She's back to her alternatives for actually cursing in English. And she's, Felix is there to support her, and to tell her that she has the support of her sestras, and that she knows she has to keep things secret.
So. Yeah, basically, he knows now what Duco is trying to do, thanks to Mrs. S and Sarah, and mm-hmm. so uses the friendship that they have to really go in and make sure that she knows, hey, this is probably not the best idea. Like, we will support you. We're here for you. Let us help you / don't betray us.
Right.
Lay on that guilt.
Right. So, and at that moment, Allison gets a text from Duco, who says, like, "I'm out here now." So she goes, she meets Duco. I think he's in the sanctuary or whatever.
Yeah, and he's standing at the pulpit, with the lights shining on him perfectly, very artistic.
Yeah, and he's like, I hope you've made a decision, but maybe here's somebody who can help you. And he has on the phone, he has Donnie. Poor Donnie.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, Donnie is getting his butt handed to him.
Yeah.
He's supposed to be alone in this cell, but surprise, the Aleutian dude and another dude is there with a shiv from a toothbrush and the illegal phone. And so Allison is, of course, like freaking out because here's Donnie, like, here's proof that Donnie, like, is not safe.
Yeah.
And Duco uses that to say, hey, if you want him safe, you have to give me Sarah. And she's like, I don't know where Sarah is now, but I know where she'll be. She'll be at a comic book shop called The Rabbit Hole tonight.
Mm-hmm. And we're like, oh, no.
Yes.
Allison.
Come on, Allison. Really? Why would you do such a thing? Don't give away your sestras, et cetera, et cetera.
Right. So, so then we see Duco outside the rabbit hole. He's waiting, and he sees Sarah, good old Sarah, in her signature hoodie, and looking very Sarah-like. Yes. Goes into the rabbit hole. So Duco follows in there, and there's Hell Wizard at the cash register. He's so cute. Duco's asking him, had many customers, and what are you doing there? And he says, so I'm playing D&D. And he starts asking him, what kind of party you got, are you? And he's telling him, I'm not a D&D player, so I can't really appreciate the specifics, but a level 12 this and a level 10 this and an elf cleric. Tuca's like, oh, with a party like that, you can really make things happen. Unless a dragon comes. And I'm
not
like,
not a fake dragon, like not a Wyvern or something, but like a full-blown blah, blah, blah. So basically he's pulling out all of this D&D knowledge to make an impression.
He made an impression on me. Yeah. Oh, I wasn't surprised. I'm like, oh, of course Duco would play D&D. I mean, he's not wearing his earmuffs anymore, but he might as well be. He's just such a dorky looking guy. But it's very, you know, it's very threatening. I mean, he's menacing. You have to admit he's really good at this, you know?
Yeah. He's very intimidating, very like, oh gosh. Yeah. It's understandable to be scared of him, basically. Like, it's okay to be scared of him because he is scary.
Yeah. And then he does, you know, he grabs him and slams his head on the counter. And then, surprise, behind him is Art and Siobhan with the guns. Yes. And they're like, you know, back off and, you know. And then Sarah walks out and he's like, oh, darn it.
I've been had.
She set me up, he said about Alice. And I'm like, well, great.
What do you expect? And I was so happy because there was definitely some worry.
Yeah.
I was concerned.
I know that would cause a pretty big rift in the sisterhood if Allison really, really betrayed, you know, coldly, not coldly, but, you know, but baldly betrayed Sarah for the sake of Donnie. I actually went back and rewatched that whole sequence to try to figure out when did they make the plan with Allison.
Right.
And it was obviously it was off camera and it wasn't part of the script, but after she gets that text from Duco, that's when Felix, you know, I'm sure that Sarah and Mrs. S said, let's make this plan, you know, let's help her out and do this. So Felix had the plan to offer to her. And then when he knew Duco was there, he said, okay, here's the plan. And then she goes and she executes the plan very well, because we weren't even sure until the last, you know, finally revealed that Duco had been double crossed.
Right. And they did that beautifully. It was very good.
Then there's my favorite sequence, which is Allison rehearsing Jesus Christ Superstar. And she's, she's very distracted, obviously. And she's nervous and she's singing terribly. And the whole thing is fun, though, just how they do it. And by the way, the other two women on the stage with them, those are the authors of Blood Ties, the musical that they did in the second season.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. So they were the, you know, the choreography and the voice coaching plus filling in. Like they were in Blood Ties as well. And I thought that was really fun.
That is super fun.
Yep. So they were... they're performing, but they're also, you know, cutting back and forth between the prison cell and the stage, and Allison's stressed and Donnie's being beaten up by the Neolution guy, who thinks like, yeah, your wife is hanging you out to dry. Your phone call hasn't come in. And it's very nerve wracking because, there's these poses where Allison is on her knees, you know, with her hands clasped as in prayer. And it's like so real that because she's praying, you know, that Donnie's going to be okay. And Duco at gunpoint calls off the hit on Donnie, and Sarah texts Felix, and Felix reads the text and he gets a big smile and he looks at Allison and he like gives her like the all okay sign.
Yeah.
And then like the musical takes a totally different, you know,
the form. Energy level becomes through the roof and she's happy and like hitting. You could just feel like the exuberance of the show coming through. And she's hitting her marks and she's, you know, performing, like the performance just completely changes. Yeah. And
hats off to Sarah Stubbs too, as Jesus with the cross. That little sequence there, I was like, wow, I didn't realize she had those, that kind of vocal strength, because she was incredible too.
Yeah, she was. It was great. I would see that show.
Yeah, I would too. I would definitely see it. So that's one of my favorite Orphan Black sequences of any season is that prison and Donnie being, you know, Donnie is resurrected basically, and Allison can be happy and can do her part in her play that she loves so much.
Yes.
So then from that exuberance, we go back to the dark basement of Mrs. S.
Yes.
That was a really hard. Yeah.
Oh man. You can just feel the rage that she has against this person because mm-hmm. not only is Duco messed with her babies, but he killed her mom.
Yeah.
And so here's somebody that she has control over.
Yeah.
Pretty much. And she.
Yeah. I mean, she gets Sarah and Art to leave the room. And honestly, I thought the person who had the hardest part was Art, because as many things as he's done for Sarah and the Sestras, like, he has always been like, you can't kill a person in front of me. You know,
right.
like that's I'm still a cop, right? But this time he's like, you know, I'm kind of a messed up cop too. So I'm going to say bye bye for now. Sorry. And Duco realizes like then he's finished because Art, you know, if he can't get Art to intervene, nobody is going to save him.
Yeah. And Mrs. S has a battery with jumper cables and makes him spark to show Duco that she's serious and is like, show me a scenario where Evie Cho stops going after my family. To which Duco's like, I don't know. Like, Sarah's a threat. Like, but he doesn't know specifics. He doesn't know why. And it's just like, he knows that S is serious. Yeah. Like, he can tell that she is not.
He does get in a good line there, you know, where she's like, what's her like plan? And he's like, I don't know, remaking man in her own image by chopping my balls off.
Yeah.
Well, at least he's quite aware of his role in this whole thing.
Right. He knows how useless he is, basically. Like, he has no control over the situation.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, finally gets to a point where Mrs. S believes that he has no control over any of this, that he's just kind of a minion for Evie. He doesn't have, he can't do anything basically. And so she's, you know, unhooking and putting away the battery, to which Duco is very relieved. Which is kind of sad because she then pulls out the rifle that has so kindly been cleaned and starts like really breaking it down how, you know, like Duco's all, yeah, I'm going to work for you. And it's like, look at this is every Brightborn investigation. Like, you have made it go away. Like, you're taking this money and
killing people.
Like, you have no, we can't trust you, basically. Mm-hmm. And it's all about family. Like, I'm doing this for my niece. And I've put all the money away for her. And S is just not taking it because she takes the gun and, like, cocks it and says, this is for my ma. And then just shoots him and starts crying.
Mm-hmm.
And you could just feel the emotions, and my heart was breaking for her because that obviously won't bring her mother back, but at least he won't be able to kill anyone else.
Yeah, no, that's true. It was surprising. I remember the first time I saw it, like, I didn't expect him to just get it, you know, like that. I didn't expect it to like have that like unambiguous of a finish for, you know, for a character who we like to kill somebody, you know, like coldly like that is unusual in this series. So In fact, I can't think of another example. So, I mean, except for Helena, but Helena's a totally different story.
Right. That's a whole other conversation. Like, yeah.
So she, but Helena, no, yeah, she's an assassin.
Yes.
she's not a manslaughterer Allison and Donnie, but okay. So that is, yeah, that is a peak moment. The story wraps up with, Cosima has gotten, Rachel and Susan are talking about Cosima and that she's coming over with the eggs from Sarah and is going to work with Susan. And Rachel's like, I want to go back and work with Sarah, you know, and all my sestras to restore you as the head of Neolution. But in that moment, then she gets another eye glitch with the swan. I mean, there's one point where she saw a swan, beheaded, I guess. Like,
yeah, and like a guy in
and a guy almost, in a cabin.
Yeah, it was very odd. And I was like, is this someone that I should recognize? Is this man someone I should recognize? And I don't think it's someone that we've met before.
Mm. Yeah. I noticed in one of the reviews I was reading, somebody thought it was Dr. Duncan, Dr. Ethan Duncan. It's not. It doesn't even look like him. I'm like, no.
Yeah. But,
old man, yes.
Yeah.
I know they all look alike to these to young internet bloggers, but they two different actors. That's obviously they're intentionally, opaque about what all that is about. But I think it's just important to know that there's something, with Rachel, that is out of her control and she doesn't know what it is or why. Susan's like, can you really work with Sarah? And Rachel says, I look forward to it, in her classic Rachel, determination voice. And I love when she says those phrases. They're very chilling. And then we see helicopter ride.
Right.
Cosima in a helicopter and talking to Scott and saying, hey, tell Sarah I've got her eggs are in the air. And he says, aren't you nervous? Like you're basically flying to the private island of a mad scientist. And Cosima's like, dude, we are mad scientists. Don't be a hater.
I loved it. It was beautiful. And it also is, from the science side, fairly unrealistic that they were able to collect eggs that quickly. Because normally they have to do at least 2 weeks, if not a full month of hormones to grow more than one egg, potentially. I'm choosing to believe that there was a month and a half between one scene and the next.
That could be true. We don't know that.
Yep.
And I do. I think it's a neat scene for Cosima because, yes, you should be a little afraid or a lot afraid, going somewhere like that with somebody who the only thing you really know about them is that they do things you don't like. And they're sneaky about it, but there's science. She's just like, science, we're going to go science the heck out of this, and we're going to find a cure. And so she's a very happy mad scientist at that point. And we want to share her enthusiasm.
Yes. Yes. It's very exciting. And I'm excited for the next episode.
Me too. Well, we only have two more episodes in this season, and then
oh my goodness,
season five. But season four has really turned out. I just hadn't really remembered how many good things it had in it, And we've already had, such ups and downs, like that could have been season finales that aren't. So
yes, yeah, it's a constant reminder. Just the writing for this show is so amazing because the episodes like 6, 7, and 8 easily could be the end of the season, mm-hmm. and then oh, by the way, let's throw in more. Like yeah.
Oh, well. All right. Well, we will talk about episode 9 next time and be more and more drawn into the island of Dr. Susan Duncan.
Yeah. So thank you so much for listening to this episode of SestraCast. We hope you enjoy it. Feel free to reach out to us on Twitter. We are at SestraCast. Jean is at MacGenie and I am at Mrs. Soup. We are a part of the Amazing Incomparable Network. You can find you can find all of our previous episodes on The Incomparable or also go directly to SestraCast.com. And we hope you have an absolutely amazing day.